by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
This is Barbara from Harlem, and you have clicked on to Our Urban Story. We're so happy to have you with us on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. And I want my co-host to give you a shout out.
Hi, everyone. It's BB Diamond here on Saturday, October 14th, 2017.
And I got a call from one of our wonderful listeners in Atlanta, Georgia, Amy. And she wanted us to discuss on this program the executive order that was recently signed by our president. And I'm going to ask Ms. Diamond, you know, to please give us an explanation of this executive order.
Yes, thank you, Barbara from Harlem. Yesterday, October 13th, President Trump signed an executive order that essentially cuts off any subsidies to insurance companies that the government had been making under Obamacare. The Democrats have said that this move will break the insurance markets. But the president sent out a tweet early yesterday morning, Friday morning, saying, quote, "The Democrats' Obamacare is imploding. Massive subsidy payments to their pet insurance companies has stopped. Dems should call me to fix," unquote. The president is right. The government was, you know, holding up these insurance companies. The insurance companies were making out, honestly, like a fat rat.
And they still are. Yes.
Really, they were. So what Trump's move does is that it clears the way for Obamacare alternatives, which I think in the end will save the average American more money. The leaders of the Democratic Party, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, blasted the move and saying that their political dalliance with the president is over for now, because they have been talking to the president about health care, and I know for certain about DACA and about immigration. Yes, Barbara.
It just bothers me that these swamp dwellers would have a problem with what's been done to help. What can I say? Taxpayers get a fair share of what they work for. In other words, what I see, and we don't know right now, but we have to do more research to see how it's going to benefit taxpayers. But the bottom line is our government is not supposed to be in the insurance business.
Correct.
Our government is not supposed to be in the car business.
Right. Exactly.
You know, something is wrong. You know, capitalism stands on its own. If you do good business, have a good product, you will make it.
Right.
If you don't, you will not make it. Right. The government isn't supposed to give you subsidies from the taxpayer dollars.
You know, that's a good point, because that's more, you'll find that more in communist countries, like for China.
Absolutely.
You know, for the petroleum companies in China, the government of China owns a large, if not most, of the stake in that company.
Yes.
We don't have that in the United States.
Yes.
Because we are, as you pointed out, a capitalistic nation.
Absolutely.
So why were we propping up these insurance companies who are making out like fat rats under Obamacare? Now, the insurance companies have said if they don't get those subsidies, it will cause the premiums to go up. So we'll have to watch for that. Yes.
The premiums are already up.
Yep.
They've been getting the subsidies. And I know someone personally, I think the premium is, well, I know the deductible is $1,500. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's ridiculous.
Right, right, right.
That's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know the premium, but it's not, a walk in the park.
Right, exactly.
And that's why a lot of companies stop hiring people on a full-time basis.
Yes, that's true.
So they don't have to provide any insurance coverage. Mm-hmm. And you see, the average working person hurts from all of this, you know, under the table dealings with our government. Our government is supposed to be about protecting our nation, protecting our citizens, not subsidizing insurance companies.
Right.
If the insurance company provides a good competitive product, he will survive, she will survive. Mm-hmm. If it does not, they will not, but that's capitalism.
Right.
Everyone is not guaranteed success in a capitalistic system.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm so happy that that's being done, because some of to me, that's part of cleaning up the swamp.
Right. You know,
or draining the swamp.
Yeah, very quickly, yes. You know, in a statement between Mr. Schumer and Ms. Pelosi, they say, quote, sadly, instead of working to lower health costs for Americans, it seems President Trump will single-handedly hike Americans' health premiums, quote. And I won't go into the rest of their quote. Yes, ma'am.
You know, they're not even legitimate people to make any sort of statements, because they're part of the Democratic sneak attack team that went behind closed doors and passed this atrocity.
Yeah, and you know what? How dare they? Not one Republican voted for Obamacare. It's actually the Affordable Care Act. Moreover, and this is very, very important, members of Congress, including the House and the Senate, both houses of Congress, they are not impacted by Obamacare.
They are not.
They exempted themselves while putting this on the average American. That goes against who we are as a country. This is not a monarchy where you're the king and queen. You don't have to be subject to what the average people
ridiculous.
Are subject to. That's not fair.
And the average person in this country, they pay the salaries of Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. They pay the salaries of all of those elected officials.
Right.
So you mean to tell me we pay their salaries, but Obamacare was not good enough for them.
Exactly.
Only the ones who are paying the salaries of those who went behind closed doors. Those doors were not transparent.
Exactly.
And passed this Obamacare, put this load around people's necks. And 60% of the American people were protesting and saying, leave my health care alone. If Medicaid was so, you know, wretched, it had so many
just
problems.
Fix it.
Not phase it out and replace it with something like this, where you don't have your same doctor, where there's so much red tape. I was at an eye doctor not too long ago, a few months ago, and there was some controversy about how I could get care, et cetera. And you know what the technician told me? He says, well, you can thank Obamacare for this. That's what he said.
Wow.
So it affects even our medical people.
Well, I just wanted you to point out something, and I just want to point this out before I ask you to point something else out.
Okay.
You know, what they should have done was fix the waste, fraud, and abuse.
And abuse, absolutely.
That's what they should have done if they found that, or through an analysis or study or whatever, in Medicaid. That's what should have been done, not overhauling our, at 17% of our GDP, a gross domestic product, is insurance. So they overhauled and really took over and put themselves in control of a huge industry. And these people like Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, although they're in the Senate, they're not experts. They're not subject matter experts. So that's one of the reasons why Obamacare has been a mess. Now, Barbara, there was this impression given. Let me just finish this. There was this impression given that if Obamacare hadn't passed, people would be dying in the streets. Would you please tell our listeners should know this.
As
but
per usual.
What was in place if we didn't need Obamacare, correct?
I don't see where we needed it, because, number one, people who are indigent, they can get Medicaid. They get prosthetic parts, and they get dentures. They get all of that. They even get transplants. I mean, I know many people who are on public assistance, and they get very good medical care. So, I mean, that was a lie. But, you know, we have to remember, the Democratic Party, unfortunately, has developed into a lying machine. We wouldn't have seen people dying in the streets. Have we ever seen that? Have we ever had hospitals turning people away because they didn't have money? No. We have charities throughout the city, throughout the nation. That's why people come here. So those were all a pack of lies. But we must remember, let's go back in time when Hillary Clinton was the first lady and she was trying to push health care. You see, these socialists, Marxists like Hillary Clinton, like Barack Hussein Obama, want the government to grow. Want the government to have more control over the lives of the citizens. Socialism, if you look that up, you'll see that socialists, this is what they do. They take control of the healthcare. They take control of the media. They take control of the weapons. They take control of everything. And then they have, they let loose who they really are upon the people. And every nation that has been under socialistic rule has failed, has proven to be miserable for the people, and they have not produced a happy country. So this was their plan a long time ago to take over health care, even when Hillary and Bill were in the White House. Yeah. This is nothing new. That failed at that time. This time it passed in spite of the fact that over 60% of the American people, we even attended some rallies in Washington. Yes. Don't touch my health care. Keep your hands off our health care. That was what we were saying when we went to Washington. And what happened? They ignored us and went behind those transparent doors and passed it without one Republican voting on it.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing was really, it wasn't well done. It wasn't well crafted. The famous statement from, and she was the majority leader at that time, Nancy Pelosi, is, we'll have to pass it to see what's in it.
That's right.
I mean, that's a crazy statement. You're going to pass a piece of landmark legislation that's going to affect millions of Americans.
But she's exempt from it.
But she's exempt from it, but saying we have to pass it in order to know what's in it. That, to me, is crazy. Nancy Pelosi's been going downhill mentally, in my opinion, for a few years. The Democrats really need to replace her as leader, but that's a whole nother story. Obamacare has been just an utter disaster. People were covered under Medicare, right? And then Medicaid if you don't
absolutely
have work history.
Absolutely.
So I don't understand why we needed Obamacare.
They wanted more control over the people's lives.
Absolutely. I think that's right. It upended,
that's
really.
It
upended insurance plans. People lost access to their primary doctors.
Absolutely.
We were told, promised by then President Obama, that you would still have your same doctor.
Lies.
Lie. People, to your point, which you mentioned earlier, there are retail outlets that will not hire people full-time, so that way they don't have to pay for Obamacare.
Absolutely.
So Obamacare has really been a disaster for the American people. Now, I know some people are sensitive because they love President Obama, but
well, that's
really
too bad.
If you look at it, you know, if you take the emotions out of it and look at it economically and neutrally, in a neutral manner, Obamacare has been a disaster.
It has been a disaster, and unfortunately, Obama was not one that promoted the values. Wow. Of this nation.
Gotcha.
The values that made it possible even for him to be elected.
Exactly.
He didn't celebrate those things.
Right.
You know, he had a lot of scorn for them.
Right. Exactly.
And Obamacare is a very bad program because people have been complaining about how their premiums have bloomed and
skyrocketed.
Skyrocketed. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for.
Right.
So this was a good move. It's also a good move that people will be able to buy insurance not only within your state.
Yes.
Now, the competition is going to be stiffer. That's
absolutely
probably what the insurance companies don't like.
Right, because insurance company in New York, if you're charging $1,000 for the premium before they kick in payments, but do you have the option now of going to Pennsylvania?
That's correct.
And your premium is only $500.
That means competition is going to be stiffer.
There you go.
But when you have competition, you have a better product being produced.
Exactly.
Because only the strong, only the ones who are producing, and only the ones who are looking to make it affordable for their customers will survive.
Exactly. Speaking of Hillary Clinton, we alluded to her earlier. There are reports that due to her biography, she and her husband, Bill Clinton, are not speaking. I don't want to get into personal stuff, but what are your thoughts? I mean, they've been through so much together. They've been married for over 40 plus years. I don't know if it was a marriage of love or convenience, maybe both.
I think convenience.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are he married someone he thought would share his ideology, and he was absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And someone who was ambitious, he was absolutely right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's been an arrangement for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's the question?
Well, basically, what are your thoughts about that?
My thoughts are, you know, she needs to go away.
Exactly.
But also, they need to really investigate those emails, those servers, et cetera, et cetera. She needs to be occupied with trying to find a way to stay out of jail. And well, then maybe she won't have so much time to complain about our president.
I think that President Trump, personally, this is my personal opinion, I think he thinks that Hillary has been through so much, and she has been. She's lived a privileged life, but at certain extent, it's been a sad life. And due to her loss of the presidency, and they still haven't gotten over it, maybe she suffered enough. I don't know if
I don't think so.
Pursue. Okay.
I'm from New York, too. I'm a New Yorker, and, you know, we do have a little empathy here and there. But when you come at me, I lose a lot of sympathy for you. Mm-hmm. And she's constantly at him. She said that she's part of the resistance. We don't need resistance in America right now. And if she is such a great leader and would have been such a great leader and is such a woman to be admired, she wouldn't be talking resistance. She'd be talking unity for the sake of the country, if she loved this country. So, I mean, I have no sympathy for her.
Right, got you.
It was by the grace of God that she did not win, because I just found out what a globalist is. I really think of her as my sister. I asked her yesterday, what is a globalist? And because I hear the term, but I didn't understand it. So she was telling me it's a person that doesn't believe in borders, doesn't believe in any of those things that make this country great and unique. And Hillary is one of those globalists. And now I understand why Barack Hussein Obama was able to say America is not defined by borders, because he was also a globalist. So by the grace of God, we don't have a globalist who was going to execute more of Obama's programs, strategies, and intended destructive plans for America. We don't have that person in the White House by the grace of God. We don't have a perfect person in the White House.
Right.
But we do have someone, I believe, who loves this country and is trying to do the best to keep his word with the promises that he made to the American people that he inspired to, you know, leave that barn house for a few moments. The pigs can eat later, but I'm going to go out here and vote. I believe people voted who had stopped voting because they lost confidence in America, lost confidence in the governmental system. And they said that they're going to give this businessman a shot. And they came out of there, and I watched, you know, people as they, you know, they were videotaping some of them with their boots on, et cetera, with their dungarees on, coming out there, standing in line to vote. Because they had hope that America was going to survive this onslaught of another globalist in the White House.
I think a lot of Americans, I think your point is well taken, a lot of Americans had stopped voting or didn't care.
Absolutely.
Because they felt they were not being listened to.
They weren't, that's right.
And that their votes didn't matter, and too many on the left were just viewing the average American as an ATM machine. We don't want to hear what you have to say about our globalistic ideas. We want to bring more immigrants in.
Yes.
We just want you to pay your taxes so we can use the revenue from the collected by the IRS to fund our projects. We're not listening to you.
Absolutely.
And so what I think Trump has brought is a sense or a feeling amongst millions of Americans that at least he's listening to the average working American. And I think that's very important. That's why he won.
And see, the globalists wanted to remake America in their own image. They want to determine what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. They want to toss our Judeo-Christian foundings in the river, in a fast-running river, so that they wouldn't even think about them anymore. They don't want you to be able to define right and wrong, decent and indecent. They're not those kind of people. Look at what's happened in Germany with a globalist leading the parade. Germany is losing their country to immigrants. Germany is losing their identity. Because you have a globalist. And thank God we don't have globalist Hillary Clinton in our White House. So if she's suffering from defeated, being defeated stress, that's her problem. She didn't suffer that much when she was beaten by Obama for the nomination. And look at how many people turned on her. But she didn't go that crazy. Ted Kennedy turned on her. Who was it? Harry Reid turned on her. And Nancy Pelosi. They chose Obama over her. I guess they felt that they could control him more. They tossed her on the side, but she didn't go this crazy, as crazy as she is now.
Right, exactly. I want to move on to the Values Voter Summit.
Oh, my goodness,
which is sponsored by the Family Research Council. The president was the first sitting president to attend the Values Voter Summit. Also, Steve Bannon, who is basically the chief editor of Breitbart.com, was there. And Barbara, you listened to part of Steve Bannon's speech.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you just give a summary of his speech, please?
He was so inspiring. And I mean, he was just outlining, you know, how the people of Alabama, they ignored the money from Mitch McConnell and, you know, the GOP. What won that election, he said it was the muscle of the people. The money of the GOP didn't win. It was the muscle of the people. And, you know, what he was saying is so true. In other words, this battle that we're in, my friends, all of you who love this country, who love God, and you love your country, and you love your family, it's ongoing. It's a daily thing. That's what I got from him. Don't think it's going to stop, because evil never takes a rest. They tried to dig up way after way after way to destroy the values of this nation, the Judeo-Christian values. And I mean, I didn't hear our president speak, but I looked on Free Republic. And you know, one thing that he said, we are stopping cold the attacks on Judeo-Christian values. Mm. When is the last time we had a president to make such a bold statement?
Right, exactly.
When? Mm-hmm. And you know, I was talking to, I called her my sister yesterday, and she says, you know, he mentions God quite often. Mm. I believe that this election has really changed him.
Wow.
That he knows that even though he's basically a self-made billionaire, he needs God.
Wow. Exactly.
He needs God.
Right, 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 right.
We all need God.
Yep.
And we're fighting against those who hate God.
Please call in. Our call-in number is 973-925-4559. Again, 973-925-4559. We would love to hear from you, even if you disagree with our
Absolutely.
Viewpoints. We would like to engage in a dialogue with you. Now, one of the other big stories this past week that just happened yesterday, again, another story from yesterday, October 13th, is that Trump decertified the Iran nuclear deal, and he's announcing a new approach to deal with Iran. Now, Iran, as most of you know or may not know, it was on the State Department's website, I think, until more recently, but it's still a sanctioned country, as a state sponsor of terrorism. So even with that background information, and we know that Iran has been hostile to the United States and to Israel, President Obama in 2015 crafted this deal that four other nations signed on to, including the United Kingdom, China, Russia, and the other nation escapes me, but Germany, I believe it is. So we made this deal with Iran to try to control and to temper their need and their desire for a nuclear weapon. Iran, if you listen to the experts, Iran is in compliance in terms of the letter of the law. But Trump's position is that in the spirit of the law, they're not in compliance because
and
they're still sponsoring Hezbollah. They're trying to push their weight, if you will, in the Middle East. They're trying to dominate the Middle East. Iran is a snake in the grass. So, yes, they will follow so that Great Britain and Germany can see that we're following this, what's on this piece of paper. But it's very weak. And we really do not want a nuclear-armed Iran. They actually have the nerve to put a clock not too far. I don't think it's too far from Israel's border, saying the date when Israel will be destroyed. This is who we're dealing with. They've called us the great Satan, Israel the little Satan. So Iran is an enemy of the United States. And so President Trump, he didn't kill the deal. But he can't really unilaterally kill the deal because there are four other nations that are signatories on this agreement with Iran. But because the United States is the sole superpower, by Trump saying we're not certifying this Iran nuclear deal, we're not certifying Iran's compliance, it puts a chink in the armor.
Good.
Now, this is the same Iran that we sanctioned successfully for many, many years, that we literally, and if you went by our money laundering, anti-money laundering laws, we apparently, to me, broke the law when under President Obama, we shipped in cash millions of dollars to Iran.
Yes, we did.
And we allowed them to receive $150 billion that had been held because they were, some of the sanctions have been lifted from them. So Trump decertified the Iran nuclear deal. As when he was running for president, he had criticized it. What are your thoughts, Barbara?
My thoughts are he's very shrewd, and I believe that this is a shrewd move not to recertify it because they're not to be trusted.
No, absolutely not.
There's nothing trustworthy about them, their history, their present goings and comings and doings and sayings. They're not to be trusted. And if we're the great Satan, we'd be a fool to trust them.
You know, that's an excellent point. I just want to read very quickly from the Washington Times, quote, President Trump said Friday he's decertifying the Iranian nuclear deal forged under the Obama administration,
yes,
but stopped short of ending the international agreement and said giving Congress 60 days to take a tougher approach toward Tehran's lawless behavior, unquote. So this is a step in the right direction. Israel
Absolutely.
Has praised it. Because with us empowering Iran, Iran is like a snake. The more you feed it, the more you're not going to appease
Iran. Well, just like North Korea.
Exactly.
Our presidents, our previous presidents, they thought that they could play with little kid gloves with North Korea. That's why we're in the mess we're in today.
Exactly.
We have Clinton, we have George Bush, and we have Barack Hussein Obama.
Right, right. Now, these like, you know, you mentioned Kim Jong-un
yes.
of North Korea, and then you have the Ayatollah of Iran and the mullahs of Iran. You know, when you feed those beasts, you don't appease them, really.
You don't.
You're just buying time before they launch and they lash out, just like Hitler. When they thought, okay, when Hitler invaded Poland, and they're like, well, here's Hungary, take Hungary.
Well,
Neville Chamberlain thought he was appeasing Hitler.
He thought he was.
He just fed the beast.
And he was fooled.
That. Right.
That's right. That's right. And it's just like, you know, just common ordinary people. You think even the election of Barack Hussein Obama, a lot of people thought, well, you know, it's time we get a black man as president. And they were beaten over the head with their white guilt, et cetera, et cetera. And then what happens? Okay, he was in there and then he got reelected. And what does his wife say? Oh, the GOP is racist, just white men. I mean, you didn't change her heart. You didn't change his heart because every time he got a chance to say something that was racially dividing this nation, he stepped right up to the plate. So what did you get for being so understanding and saying all this time and blah, blah, blah? What did you get? You got kicked in the teeth. You got Obamacare, high premiums. You have businesses that couldn't survive going out of business. Mm-hmm. You had immigrants being placed in your communities without being vetted or anything. True. That's what you got.
True.
And it would be the same thing with these rogue nations. Mm-hmm. You can't appease these people. You know, the Bible says live in peace as much as it is possible with all men. Mm-hmm. And there are some people and there are some nations you cannot be at peace with. Just like, you know, with our president saying when there's peace in the Middle East or something like that, something about peace, then the capital will be moved.
The U.S. Embassy will be moved from
U.S.
Tel
Embassy.
Aviv to Jerusalem.
Well, right. How are you ever going to be at peace with the Palestinians? Those interlopers who are in a land that's not theirs. They're nothing but they're Arabs and can be absorbed by the 22 nations that surround them.
True.
But their whole mission is to eliminate Israel. Mm-hmm. So when does the peace process come in?
Right.
How can you make peace with someone who wants to kill you?
You know, that's a very good point. If the Palestinian Arabs are teaching their children that
yes.
the Jews are interlopers, that the
yes.
Jews...
and they're the interlopers.
Because it's in the Quran, the denunciation, the degrading of Jewish people is codified in their holy book. So if you don't think Jews have a right to exist, are you really going to really put forth a peace plan?
No.
If you don't believe the people you're trying to do peace with has a right, if they don't have a right to exist. So it's a folly. It's a fool's errand. They're not going to like you anyway, whether we move it to...
If we're trying to say
not going to move the embassy to Jerusalem because it might offend the Palestinian Arabs, they're going to be offended anyway.
Absolutely. And then their book tells them that you don't have to tell the truth to anyone who's a non-believer. You don't. Right. You, did those hijackers, the ones who did that mess on 9/11, tell the truth when they came into our country? No.
It's called taqiyya.
Taqiyya.
And you can lie to non-Muslims to further your goal.
Absolutely.
To accomplish your mission.
It's
own, that's exactly
right.
What they did on 9/11. Don't worry.
Absolutely.
We're gonna land the plane and we know what happened.
Absolutely. And even coming into this country, and from what I understand, their papers weren't in order. You know, their religion teaches them by any means necessary, try to destroy those who don't worship Allah like you do.
Exactly.
Period.
Exactly.
So that to me doesn't make sense.
Well, the good news is I'm reading some articles that ISIS is on the run under
yes.
President Trump. He's been very aggressive against this. It's not enough to call them radical Muslim group because it's beyond that. They're a genocidal Islamic group. But ISIS,
genocidal children of hell.
Right, exactly. But they're on the run. Now, I was looking at the Washington Post yesterday, and there's an interesting mm-hmm. article very briefly. The headline is, Iran's Revolutionary Guard is facing more pressure from the Trump administration. And I just want to read very quickly from it, Washington Post by Aaron Cunningham yesterday. Quote, once a ragtag force protecting Iran's nascent Islamic regime, the Revolutionary Guard Corps is now the nation's most powerful security institution and has come under fire from the Trump administration. On Friday, President Trump announced his new strategy toward Iran, adopting a more aggressive stance on everything from the nuclear deal to Iranian ballistic missiles. A major part of the strategy, however, will include targeting the Revolutionary Guard, or IRGC, in a wide-ranging speech that slammed Iran and picked apart its nuclear deal with world powers. Trump directed the Treasury Department to impose additional sanctions on the Revolutionary Guard as supporters of terrorism in Washington's view, unquote. This is a
Amen.
Very critical move. Now, the Revolutionary Guard is a separate fighting force from the army in Iran. And this is a very, and it goes on to say, where you find conflict, and I'm going to read this very quickly. From the White House, quote, it is hard to find a conflict or a suffering people in the Middle East that the Revolutionary Guard's tentacles do not touch.
Yes.
Unquote. That includes Syria, Iraq. They're using Hezbollah as a proxy. Hezbollah is based in Lebanon, but Iran has been financing Hezbollah to attack Israel.
Yeah, they're very evil.
Iran is a very evil regime.
Very evil.
Now, we have Americans are still being held captive in Iran. It's not like it was in 1979, where they held Americans for 444 days.
But didn't I hear that some captives were released recently?
Not that I'm aware of. I hope
so. Okay, we'll report further on the executive orders and that also God Spare Our Lives next week.
Absolutely.
I just want, briefly for a moment, I just want to put this on the air. I'm going back to the Values Summit
yes.
and our president. This is something that he said. Mm. In America, we don't worship government. We worship God. Trump declared to a cheering crowd at the Values Voters Summit in Washington. He went on to say, how times have changed, he added. But you know what? Now they are changing back again. Just remember that. And I want every one of you listening to just remember that. We're changing back again to saying Merry Christmas at Christmas time. We're changing back again to not being afraid to say Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. You know, and he also said in that he will not allow the government work to censor pastors or rabbis and their sermons and all of that. In other words, remember, we're going back to the time when pastors could get up in the pulpit and speak the word of God from the word of God.
Very good.
I just wanted to share that with our listeners, for us to remember that as we fight for our country, to take our country back to a standard of morality, truth, honesty, and unity. And this fight is ongoing. It's every day. We can't get weary. We can't give up. We can, you know, sit down and take a little pause, take a deep breath, but get back in the fight. Because the people on the other side are fighting constantly to destroy our Western Judeo-Christian values.
Absolutely. I think that speech made it plain, although I don't agree with everything Trump does, and I do think he
absolutely
needs to tamper down the influence of Ivanka, his daughter, and his son-in-law, please. Jared, because
immediately
they are liberal. But immediately, I do think that he is the most conservative president that we've had, at least since Ronald Reagan, and he may even be more conservative than Reagan. I think that was a great speech. You know, people have been, he mentioned about saying Merry Christmas again, because it had gotten so bad. I remember I was in Las Vegas and I said Merry Christmas to the desk clerk and she said Happy Holidays back to me.
I know.
That's how they've been trained.
That's
true. You go
into
Macy's, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. What is wrong with saying Merry Christmas? You can even say Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas. So it just got to a point where the secularists were really basically running the government. They run Hollywood.
Absolutely, they do.
And they try to drown out our Judeo-Christian heritage.
Absolutely. That's why all of this Weinstein stuff, that's normal for Hollywood.
But I do want to touch on the wine. Harvey Weinstein, as we all know by now, very powerful Hollywood producer. Very, very powerful. Produced many, many, multiple movies. I can't even sit here and name them. But accused of being basically a sexual predator. Now, we're not going to focus on this because it's not what this show is about. But to me, it shows a hypocrisy of Hollywood elites.
Ongoing.
When Mia Farrow's son wanted to bring this story, break it on MSNBC, the story was killed. Brad Pitt and others have been accused of covering for Brad Affleck. I'm not into the Hollywood thing, so I don't even know. I may mess up their names. But the bottom line is, for all the criticizing of particularly Republican Christian men, for all the criticizing of Donald Trump for, you know, speaking the way he did. I remember during the campaign, you know, he was recorded years ago using
the Bush thing.
Billy Bush interview.
Yes.
I mean, for them, Hollywood has been largely silent. The media has been the media has mentioned it because it's just broken forth so strongly, but they've hidden Harvey Weinstein's addiction, his sexual assault. So it's just interesting to me how Hollywood really is a bunch of hypocrites. They're supposed to be for women's rights, but we're largely silent, mostly silent, on this whole Harvey Weinstein situation. They're definitely silent when it comes to Islam and the abuse of women being sold as slaves, what have you. The hypocrisy of the liberal elite is astounding, and they still don't understand that's one of the reasons why not only did Hillary lose in November,
by the grace of God,
their cause lost in November, and they're still coming to terms with it almost a year later. We're almost at the one-year anniversary mark when Donald J. Trump became president-to-be, if you will, on November 7th, 2016.
That stuff in Hollywood, you know, it's been going on for a long time. And, you know, they're the ones, I believe, and I can't remember the guy's name, who started this organization. It's very godless. I can't even remember it. I'll remember the name. But one of the big-time directors. But, you know, it's decadence. It's just horrible. So, I mean, nothing. You know, none of that surprised me. You know, we have bigger issues on the plate rather than Hollywood.
Right.
You know, we have to fight to get our country back. Mm-hmm. We have to fight to keep our children from being told that they can pick which gender they are. Mm-hmm. That's abnormal. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have to fight to keep them from being indoctrinated into Islam, you know, putting prayer mats and all of that in schools and, you know, pushing that agenda. They don't push the Christian agenda because they're godless. Mm-hmm.
And yet you have immigrants coming, refugees coming from all over the world to the Christian West.
Yes.
Because that's where they're getting, they're able to live more in freedom.
Absolutely.
They have, you know, warm beds. They have
absolutely
food. So what is all that praying five times a day to what Mecca doing them? Not much. And, you know, Muslims in the West like to put a happy face on Islam. But Muslims who live in Pakistan, Bangladesh, in the Middle East, particularly the women and
lives.
Children, and in Afghanistan, they are suffering.
Absolutely. And when even when I see these the black people who have converted to Islam, and particularly the women that I run across in the grocery stores in Harlem and in New Jersey, they look so sad, and they don't believe in any eye contact. Their eyes are dotting all over the place. You can only see their eyes through the whatever they have on.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's sad, but it's the Western culture. It's the Judeo-Christian values of this nation that has made it great. If they're praying five times a day, you know, they're praying five times a day. What does it produce? Why can't they stay in their own land?
Exactly. Good question.
You know what I mean? Why don't they have the advances in their society that we have? Why haven't they changed? They've been doing the cutting heads off since the 7th century, and they're still cutting them off. They haven't advanced.
Exactly. Only certain elites in Saudi Arabia and certain elites have
advanced. Absolutely.
But overall, the Islamic culture has not advanced.
Absolutely.
And that's why they need to come to the Western world, because, you know.
But they don't come here to assimilate. They come here to take over. That's the biggest problem that we have. And we're not going to allow it, because we love our country.
Absolutely.
You know, and all of this stuff with the disrespect from the NFL. And I saw something on internet. They call it the National Felon League.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. But I agree with Rush Limbaugh. I agree with Rush that this is a losing cause for the NFL players. Their TV ratings have just really...
Good.
Tanking. The some people have bought season tickets, but they are just
and
tanking.
Some people are burning them up.
Right, their brand name has been hurt. Jerry Jones is telling all the Dallas Cowboys that they must stand. Roger Goodell, who's the NFL commissioner, had originally made a statement earlier this week saying that all players must stand. And then this one football player said, well, I'm going to do, he was threatening to do something if they're forced to stand. Then Roger Goodell backed away. Listen, the NFL has lost this fight. Stephen Smith, who's on ESPN, he's a black presenter on ESPN. He has said Trump has won this fight.
All right.
Trump has made it about the flag, and they're trying to say it's not about the flag. Well, if you're kneeling during the national anthem, what other conclusion can we draw?
But you know what? Those people are really losers. Because how do you think anybody else nationally, throughout the world, not only in this nation, but internationally, you think they're going to respect you, and you don't even respect your own country? They're going to look at you, you know, with a sour eye, because you have to have some respect and some loyalty. This is the country that has made you a millionaire, even though all you do is throw a ball.
At the end of the day, you run and throw a ball, right?
That's it.
You're not performing surgery. You're not saving lives. You're not trying to get people out of jail. You're not representing them in court. You're just throwing and running, right?
And if this country was so... racist or whatever? How come the league has, what, about 70% black players?
Absolutely.
Who's crazy?
How are you oppressed when you're a multimillionaire throwing around
absolutely.
People? You're not putting your life on the line. You're not running into a burning building. You're not saving people from being shot. You're throwing a ball, you're running, and you're getting $2 or $3 million a year, but you're oppressed. I mean, that doesn't even make sense.
If anything, most of them, I bet you are oppressed because they don't even know their fathers.
Well, that's one of the issues. I think that's the issue that's impacting this whole thing. For them to say we're bending our knee because of the oppression and police brutality. First of all, it was set off by Colin Kaepernick bending his knee because he didn't want to stand for a flag that represented oppression. And it was based in part on the whole Michael Brown lie from Ferguson, Missouri. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You know, and he is such a phony. because even though he was given up for adoption, he was adopted by a white family who gave him every privilege that he could have. He wouldn't have been able to make it into the NFL if it had not been that he was fortunate enough to be. Yes, his mother was white. Yes, his father, when he found out she was pregnant, from what I've been able to read, abandoned her. But he was adopted by a white family. What oppression does he know?
Exactly.
You know, I think some of those people who, you know, have these mixed heritages, some of them, not all of them, you know how I think, you know, they go overboard.
Well, I think what may have pushed him overboard, Barbara, but
what was that?
1 second. His girlfriend is a Muslim, and from what I understand, Colin Kaepernick converted to Islam. So that's the conflict with the American values. The flag doesn't say America's perfect. The anthem is not saying we didn't have problems.
But that's why he had on a shirt that had a Malcolm X on it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so other football players followed his lead without a goal, without a plan. What are we accomplishing? At the end of the day, we're bending our knee. What is our goal? Because at some point, it's going to end. What are we hoping to achieve? They never had a goal. Okay, we're going to bend our knee until October 30th, until this person's released.
You know what I hope they achieve?
Oh, whatever.
I hope they achieve termination letters and they get them. Mm-hmm. Because they're disrespecting this country. Too many people have died for what they are enjoying now. And we're sorry if your father wasn't there, if your mother tossed you away. We're sorry about that, but we didn't do it to you. So I hope you're generating, I hope they're generating, make some termination letters, because they don't deserve. They don't deserve to be celebrated.
My thing is, if the football players truly want to make a difference, they can band together, come together, and set up an organization, or go into the inner cities and talk to these young men standing on the corners, bending the knee.
That's work.
Those drawing, exactly.
That's work.
Those drawing attention. It's not accomplishing anything. All it has done is alienated their fans, 70% of whom are white, the ones who are buying the season tickets and the DirecTV TV bundles to watch them. They've alienated them. They've alienated law enforcement. They've alienated the military. It's just simple 3-minute standing. Men and women who get $20,000 a year, no money practically, losing limbs and their lives in Afghanistan.
You mean $20,000? Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
They're getting practically no money.
Absolutely.
But they're willing to lay their lives down for this country, and you can't stand for 3 minutes to honor that. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I know I'm proud of our Vice President Pence and his wife. They walked out on that game.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely wonderful. You know,
I'm
very proud of him.
I believe it was the Indiana Colts game.
It was a Colts game, yes.
Say, well, you know, Vice President Mike Pence was grandstanding. No, he wasn't. Bending the knee is disrespectful. I don't care if you're black, white. I happen to be black. It is disrespectful. You're getting $5 million a year to throw a blankety blank football, and you can't stand for 3 minutes in honor of the men and women who get practically nothing but are willing to die on the fields of lands they've never heard of, been to, and foreign lands are laying down their lives so that we don't have to have the terrorism on our shores. And if you can't stand for that, I'm done.
I know I'm done. And if you hate America so much, why do you like that money?
Yeah, exactly.
That has a dead president on it.
Exactly.
Just, you know, wrap it all up and send it to me.
Right.
You know, I celebrate our dead presidents because I think they did a wonderful job. But you don't like this country, don't like the money.
Now, these same people, I don't agree with former Chicago Bears coach Mike Ditka. He said, well, you know, I don't know of any oppression in this country in 100 years. I think that's a little bit of exaggeration, because within the last 100 years, there were still Jim Crow laws, and black men particularly were lynched. So I think Mike Ditka is going a little far. But his other point is, you probably can't play football in a foreign country and get the same money.
No, they couldn't.
He's right. They could not go to another country and get the money that
most
they
of
get
us
here.
Have been oppressed by family members.
Thank you.
Because over 70% of black people in particular are born out of wedlock into a single-headed household. So that's where their oppression started.
Exactly.
Because they didn't have the luxury of a committed mother and father there, nurturing, raising, teaching, giving values, socializing them properly. And this is the result of that. So get your termination letter and, you know, go and find another job.
I think the football coaches, they're trying to find a balance between, you know, respecting the flag, respecting the fans, and, you know, trying to salvage the football season because it's just almost decimated at this point.
It is.
So it's easy for us to say just fire them, but then how easy is it to replace them? But it's just throwing a football.
It's just throwing a football.
To find replacements.
And from what I understand, Kaepernick wasn't that great anyway.
Right.
You know, they don't have the greats that they used to, like Jim Brown, you know, even OJ.
Exactly. Yeah,
you know, I mean, they don't.
Yeah, those guys. Yeah,
we put them on a pedestal, you know, that's half baked anyway.
Exactly. That's true, too.
So, but, you know, if you can't respect this country, and I'm so proud of the fans because they have to make a choice between them watching them throw a football. Mm-hmm. And I know some people, you know, really enjoy it and respecting your country.
Right. Exactly.
We love our country more than we love that football that you
and
throw.
The NFL needs us more than we need
absolutely
them.
And you have sponsors, you know, corporations pulling out.
Yeah, that's true.
Pulling
but
out.
The NFL's been a cash cow. Almost anything they've wanted, parties, money, limos.
Yes.
It's been a cash cow, and it has been a blessing because a lot of those black men come from
broken homes, poor neighborhoods.
Exactly.
You know, and this is a tremendous blessing.
Exactly.
So, you know, when you are so ungrateful and you're such an ingrate, I don't believe you deserve any kind of special treatment.
Yep.
I would be finished with them because their attitudes determine their altitude.
Before we go, there was a massive bombing in Somalia, I believe, earlier today, at least 30 dead.
Oh, I'm
more
so
than likely,
sorry to hear that.
You almost can't be a Christian in Somalia because you will definitely be attacked and killed in the streets.
Yes.
So our thoughts and prayers are with the people of Somalia. That's why a lot of them come to the United States, they go to Minnesota, and there have been some issues about them and not integrating.
I know. Yes.
Not integrating, not assimilating.
And some of them are very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
And we just pray for those, you know, that lost their loved ones in Los Angeles. Las Vegas.
California, the wildfires.
The wildfires.
Out in Napa Valley, that's wine country.
Yes.
In California, our prayers and thoughts to them and to the firemen who are out there doing a great job.
And we need to keep our president in prayer, his family, you know. And I'm praying that Ivanka and Jared will just get out of the scene, you know, get off the scenery because we didn't elect them.
Right.
You know, and we don't need a liberal persuasion. You know, we need to be on course to make America great again.
Absolutely.
We're so happy that you tuned in. And next time, you know, pick up that phone, call us, give us your compliments or give us your suggestions, criticisms. We're open. You know, we'd love to hear from you, and please keep America in prayer for our safety and for us to go in the right direction.
Yes, thank you, and please tune in next Saturday for
our urban
story.
Bella Physical Therapy, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey, featuring one-on-one care. Bella Physical Therapy can help treat your orthopedic and sports injuries, chronic pain, men's health conditions, and women's health conditions. Also, treating headaches and tinnitus and vestibular disorders. It's easy to set up an appointment. Visit www.bella-pt.com or call 201-791-0008. That's 201-791-0008. You owe it to yourself to stop living in pain. Start the road to recovery. Call Bella Physical Therapy today. Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate different work shifts. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Wayne Ford. If you're looking for a certified, used, or new vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer. Featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the tri-state area, Wayne Ford has been proudly serving the community for over 50 years. Conveniently located 1/4 mile from the Willowbrook Mall on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey, contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. Kale Orthopedic Center, featuring high performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for New Jersey's finest. Every day you put your body at risk, and Kale Orthopedic is here to help you. Contact Kale Orthopedic at 201-447-3880. That's 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic, high performance care for bodies in motion. If you're tired of sleeping alone each night, contact Dr. Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is New Jersey's law enforcement professional's preferred sleep apnea doctor. With the use of a custom-fitted oral device, you can now look forward to a restful night's sleep. Contact Dr. Doblin, featuring two convenient locations in Fairlawn and Trenton, New Jersey. Call 201-396-9338 or visit athomesleepsolutions.com. City Health Pharmacy, located at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey. Come and experience why thousands of your neighbors choose City Health Pharmacy each and every month. City Health Pharmacy is a proud supporter of the men and women of New Jersey law enforcement, their families, and friends. Visit City Health Pharmacy today at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey, or call 862-772-0442. That's 862-772-0442. If you're looking for the widest variety of talk programs, entertaining, engaging, diverse, uncensored, and opinionated, visit DDVRadio.com. You can listen on your smartphone, tablet, or any mobile device. DDV Radio brings you the widest variety of talk programs such as Living Life Well, Your World Uncensored, The Canine Authority, and The Wise Guys Show. Visit www.ddvradio.com, the official radio network of NJ.